welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. It's time for Hour 2. I'm Danielle Avari, still here at the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Aaron Rinning at the South Point Sportsbook. And if you're confused, I understand. Aaron's normally here on Fridays, but we do have him here on a Wednesday, which means we get to take a look at some NBA futures props a little bit earlier than expected. So this one, let's take a look at some yes-no in the NBA to make the playoffs. Yes-no odds here. So the Trailblazers, they're yes to make the playoffs at minus 195. They're no to miss the playoffs there at plus 155. They host the Warriors tonight. Aaron, what do you think? Trailblazers, yes or no?
For me, I would certainly investigate and want to handicap the no. I'm not a big fan of this Portland team, although, they should get C.J. McCollum back shortly, the second best player on this team. That'll help them tremendously. Nurkic will be back in the fold. So just kind of talking it through, and with their record and their standing right now, there would be a total collapse, which I wouldn't, it's certainly possible it could happen. We'll see what happens. They got a game tonight, tomorrow as well. I do have a bet against them tonight, so see how it. I'm just more worried about tonight, Danielle, on the Trailblazers.
Yeah, as far as the West goes.
I'm worried for you. I'm worried for you. I hate betting against Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to Pelicans here. They're yes at plus 175 to make the playoffs. To miss the playoffs, that no is minus 225. What do you think of this Pelicans team right now, Aaron?
Yeah, you know, the Pelicans where, you know, Zion came into the fold, made a big splash. I think that was probably almost into January and February, maybe even February, I guess, last year. But disappointed in the bubble. They've been kind of all over the place so far this year. Again, a young team trying to find their footing. With a new coach, the NBA would certainly be happy to have someone like Zion into the playoffs. But tell you what, I know you're going to talk about some of these teams upcoming, but in that Western Conference, boy, in that division, Danielle, especially New Orleans, mm-hmm. Dallas, San Antonio, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, if we move on just looking at the Mavs, that yes at minus 400. So really, really a lot of, I was going to say not a lot of value actually mm-hmm. there at all. Yes at minus 400. But if you took a look at the no, 3-1, any chance you would ever look at that no?
Perhaps. I mean, if you look at it and you think that the Mavericks could potentially punt on the season, which mm-hmm. they could. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that wants to build around Luka Doncic. We've heard rumors of potentially a trade of Porzingis. They have some veterans on this team they could trade as well. I think Dallas probably realizes they're not quite on par with the Lakers, the Clippers, in that Western Conference, certainly the Utah Jazz as well. So there's certainly a scenario there where they could punt on the season, look to build towards the next year or the year after. Everything seemed to go right for this Dallas Mavericks team last mm-hmm. year, right. Not so much this year. But I will say this, they have played the toughest schedule in the NBA.
Yeah, that is something that you have to take into account for sure, difficulty of schedule. Let's take a look at this team that you have bet against tonight. The Warriors, yes, is minus 162, the no at plus 130. What do you think about the Warriors? Are they going to make their miss the playoffs?
I expect them to certainly be full out and try to make the playoffs. I mean, with Steph Curry, Draymond yeah. Green, essentially in the, I guess, the prime of their careers, maybe on the downside of the prime of their careers. Now, the question begs, will this team look to make some sort of trade and shake up to compete with the upper echelon of the Western Conference here? Again, this is a team, I can't say it's built to win now, but you have guys that want to win now. So I would expect the Warriors certainly to make the playoffs here.
All right. These last two, the numbers are pretty much inverse here. Pacers at yes, minus 225. The Hornets no is minus 225. The Pacers no is plus 175. The Hornets yes is plus 175. Of those kind of four options, which one would you like the best there?
I would certainly research this Pacers team on the no mm-hmm. at plus 175. This is a team that, of course, lost Victor Oladipo. Not quite sure how this is going to work out. Remember, they made the trade with Brooklyn, have LeVert sitting on the sidelines. Not sure what he's going to be able to give them this year. T.J. Warren. On the sideline, a player that certainly made his path in the NBA bubble last year. But there's rumors, again, with this Indiana team right now on the outside looking in, Matt, that they could potentially kind of blow this team up and mm-hmm. build for another year as well.
For sure. Well, obviously, we have a lot more NBA to dive into. We have JVT joining us. Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Into My Guys in the Desert. Thanks for sticking around with us here on Hour 2. Danielle Avari in the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Aaron Rinning breaking things down today in the South Point Sportsbook. And a huge thank you to Bruce Marshall, who we just had on the last segment to talk all things college basketball. If you missed that one, you can always check it out on VSiN.com. And coming up in just a few short moments, Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, to break down some more NBA for tonight. Matt?
Follow him on Twitter at MeJBT. Read his content at vsin.com. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us now to talk the association. And JBT, I want to start with overachievers and underachievers at the All-Star break. As we look at season win totals, I know you were doing a study on that this week to see to track the teams and the pace they're on at the All-Star break in accordance to the season win totals. We know the Knicks are overachievers at this point. The Knicks are going to fly over their win total, it appears. Who are some of the other overachievers that you see on the season wins totals at this point?
I think one of the ones that's front and center is one team that I'm invested in on the over is the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets, I think right now, need about 9 wins to surpass their win total going into the second half. Right around like a 9-28 record is what they need to just get one win over or half win over. They've been incredible, man. Like, they have been, I think, a lot better than at least I expected. Like, I thought they were going to go over the win total, but the pace that they're on is pretty crazy. Gordon Hayward has worked out fantastically. The development of LaMelo Ball has been absolutely incredible. He's a better shooter, just a better overall player. And they're winning some of these games without guys like Hayward or without Devontae Graham. So I think they're definitely the front runner, as well as, and this one's dangerous because they're on pace to go over, but they definitely hit a really big speed bump, losing, I think, was it 11 straight? The Cavs, right? The Cavs. Only need 9-10 wins to surpass their win total. That's going to be a lot tougher. But for a moment, it looked like they were going to be a massive overachiever. And to only need 9-10 wins going into the second half, you're obviously in a really good spot to potentially surpass. So I think those would be the two that are at the top, humans. But I think Charlotte, by far, is one that doesn't get enough credit for how well they have done up to this point.
All right, the Cavaliers have won 4 in a row going into tonight's game against the Pacers. ER, any other teams that stand out to you?
Well, I just wanted to touch on Charlotte because it'll be interesting to see if this is a team that, of course, the NBA trade deadline on March 25th. And they have been in a number of rumors as far as making some sort of trade and improving this basketball team. Now, as JVT mentioned, they had missing Graham. They're pretty much set in the backcourt. And I certainly wouldn't put it past. This is a Charlotte team that would certainly want to make the playoffs to show some sort of progress within this team. They could certainly use a big man with what they're doing. You know, they have Zeller, Biombo. It just hasn't really worked out for them with any kind of a center. So, it'd be interesting to see what kind of piece this team would be able to add to be even more competitive here in the Eastern Conference.
All right, JVT, how about underachievers at this point? And teams look like they're going to have no chance to get over their win total or very little chance to get there at this point.
I think at the top of that list that would be the Boston Celtics, right? Yep, win total opened up 46.5, closed 45.5. So you're talking about, and they got the win the other day. So I have an update of my sheet here in front of me, but I think they need to go like 29-9 in the second half to surpass their win total. Like, that's a massive ask for that team, given just the limitations that they have. And if you want to go for some like middle tier teams, at least in terms of where their win totals were, but in terms of perception, I would definitely call them underachieving. The Atlanta Hawks, right, whose win total closed at 36.5, need to go about 23-16 in the second half to surpass that thing. The New Orleans Pelicans are a team that need to have a really strong second half as well. The Miami Heat need to go about 29-9, 28-9 in the second half to surpass their win total. So there's actually, I think there's a lot of contenders for these underachieving teams. If we're just putting in the prism of win totals, Milwaukee Bucks as well are another team that needs to go about 30-9, 29-9 in the second half to surpass that win total. So from that prism, I think there's a lot of teams that are underachieving. But guys, I also think it paints the picture of, right, going into this year, why in our NBA guide, I took an overwhelming majority of unders as opposed to overs, and all of the season win total bets I have I have five of them, four of them are under, one of them are over, because this is a year that was going to be pretty chaotic. And a couple of the teams I listed off, namely Miami Heat, they've been victims of COVID and injuries and things like that. And I think that's why you see so many more underwhelming teams, again, in terms of the prism of looking at it through win totals.
Yeah, when we did the over-under picks for the VSiN NBA betting guide that you worked on in the fall, I was mostly looking for unders. I was trying to emphasize unders and thinking that most teams are going to trend that way. Aaron, any teams that you look at that have been underachieving that he didn't mention?
You know, good mention with Boston. And, you know, the COVID kind of hit that team with Jason Tatum was out for quite some time. And, you know, Boston's a team that hasn't been really underachieved in years past. So, and obviously the Milwaukee Bucks was a good take. I mean, they haven't seemed to care that much about the regular season. That was obviously on display once again last night, but COVID kind of hit them as well with Drew Holiday. So, I kind of wish I could go back and put a little bit more time and thought into those, because you guys were right on betting some of these unders with some of the better teams in the NBA that didn't really care about the long haul.
All right, JVT, senior NBA analyst here at VSiN. We're going to break down tonight's card. I want to start with the top team in the West against the team on top of the standings in the East. I don't know if it's the top team in the East, but the Jazz, 2.5-point favorites in Philly, total of 231, John.
Yeah, you know, and I think this is one where, like, the power rating from the perspective of the Jazz, right? I've been looking for spots to play against them, and over the last six games, we've kind of seen it, right? They're 3-3 straight up, 3-3 against the number, falling flat in a couple of big spots like the New Orleans Pelicans game, which, yes, they did come back in a big way, but ultimately had a pretty poor showing against a team that I think statistically, if you look at it, they have a really big advantage over. But I look at this overall, and I think that the number, again, is a little high here. I do like Philadelphia from a defensive standpoint. They have the personnel to match up with them along the perimeter, right? A whole bunch of defensive guys that can guard very well, like Ben Simmons, like Danny Green. My worry is, statistically, as much as I like my numbers, you know, they're a relatively poor team, Philadelphia, in guarding non-corner threes and just the three-point line in general. I wonder how much of that is just hot shooting early in the year, or how much of that is kind of like a scheme issue. And on the other side, from an offensive standpoint, this is a Philadelphia team that really loves the mid-range, and that's something that the Jazz will kind of allow, but they also guard relatively well. But I think from a number standpoint, I was expecting this to be like 1.5. And now that you got to as high as 3.5 and some spots slash 4, I just think this is a little too high. So I took a little piece of Philadelphia plus 3.5.
ER, you said you had a bet on this game?
Yes. I'm going head-to-head here against JVT. I have a bet on the Utah Jazz. I mean, to me, the Jazz have clearly been the best team, obviously, in the first half. I do not have the Sixers that highly represented in my power rankings. I've been disappointed with it. I don't think they're that much different. They played a very easy schedule. Now, in Utah, certainly handled them the first time. That was without Joel Embiid, so I'm looking forward to this showdown here. But, you know, the Jazz, to me, score so much more efficiently at times than the Sixers. And, again, clearly the better team. I think it's a favorable spot. The Jazz off that loss against the Pelicans. They thought the calls kind of went against them there. The Jazz have their full allotment of players. So, I think the Jazz are the better team at a short price.
John, we also talked about the Lakers-Kings game. Want to get your thoughts tonight. It's kind of like the South Bay Lakers tonight against the Sacramento Kings. It's going to be no LeBron, no AD. Kyle Kuzma, I believe, is out tonight as well. Maybe Caruso. The Kings are 3.5-point favorites, total of 223.5 in Sacramento. LeBron did not make the trip.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because the betting market has like this weird respect for Sacramento. That, like, they've been kind of overrated in a lot of weird spots, right? Like, favored on the road against the New York Knicks, laying points in spots that they shouldn't. You know, I thought they had to get a massive comeback, but the other night against Charlotte, right? You know, I made that without Gordon Hayward, Charlotte minus one, but it gets to as high as 3, 3.5. This is a team that is one of the worst in the NBA in terms of defensive efficiency. Actually, they are the worst in terms of defensive efficiency, and that just leads me to spots where, like this, where you're getting an inflated number. Yes, the Lakers are, like you mentioned, like the South Bay Lakers. There is still some personnel out there for them. I just think that this Kings team is in a spot where I just don't want any part of laying points with them. So I think in a spot where it was as high as like 4.5 earlier today, it was going to be Lakers or pass, you know, and the market is adjusted in that realm, and I think it's the right way to move.
All right, and you had a play on this game?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting when you look at the side because, like I say, you can even account for – I mean, if LeBron James is playing in this game, the spread is reversed. I don't know if LeBron is worth a touchdown, 8 points. Certainly, right. He could be here tonight. They're going to be a little bit undermanned. But I went ahead and played this game under the total with the Lakers as a team that has struggled mightily on offense to begin with. And that was with LeBron James essentially being the focal point of this offense. You saw him last night really being the main source of offense. Once again, 38 points, his ability to create his own offense. So, yeah, like JBT mentions, the Kings have been the worst defensive team. It wouldn't take that much here. But I would expect a pretty inefficient Lakers offense here tonight.
I would too, yeah. I'm a little surprised the total's that high. So it said unless the teams play with an all-star break mentality on defense, that would be my one concern. All right, we have the six-man lineup for the three-point shooting contest. Over the All-Star break, it's Stephen Curry, Jaylen Brown of the Celtics with Jason Tatum, Phoenix Suns guard Devin Booker, Bulls guard Zach LaVine, and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. I like the three-point contest every year. I really don't care for the dunk contest or the other nonsense anymore. But the three-point contest is one that's entertaining. You can bet on it. Let's get the picks from D-Wade and Shaq last night on Inside the NBA on TNT.
I'm going to go with Zach LaVine.
Okay. Chicago guy.
I'm going to go with Zach LaVine. He don't have – listen, Shaq, he don't use a lot of legs in his shot.
Why are you jumping because your facial expressions.
Oh, so y'all can read my facial expressions.
Well, when it goes down like this, then yeah.
This will be Zach LaVine's second time, so he's got some history. To your point, Buddy Hield won last year. The Mountain Dew three-point contest, Shaq, who's your pick?
Steph Curry is my favorite player.
Who's your pick, sir?
I'm about to get to that. I'm going with Devin Booker.
Of course.
Because remember, you guys, whoever you guys are, didn't pick him. He feels a little bit disrespected. So I know he has that, you know, that type of heart, like, oh, you guys not recognize I'm an all-star? Watch.
All right, JVT, who's your pick to win the three-point shooting contest?
I don't really love the field, right? Like, it's not that strong of a field, so I think it'd be a little chalky, but I think it's going to be Steph. Like, Curry's a guy that, you know, notoriously doesn't take all-star things relatively seriously, right, especially in the game itself. But, you know, he's averaging 11 three-point attempts per game. He's shooting over 42% this year. He's in a really good groove from that standpoint. And, like, guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you know, statistically, I know they're up there in terms of their three-point shooting, but they're not as consistent, I think, as some of the other guys in this field, namely a guy like Steph or even a Devin Booker, who would be my second choice. So I just don't love the field, so I'd probably go Steph. I know he's going to be the favorite.
I would agree. It'll be interesting to see the odds on this, Matt, because I'm not crazy about this field. I would expect Curry to be almost the even money favorite here. What was that when Steph was in Chicago earlier this year? He made 120 straight three-point shots in practice. That's a fascinating number. I mean, that's an amazing number to me. So if he shoots anywhere near that, I'd say he does going to run away with this competition.
Well, you know, he could shoot better blindfolded than the Houston Rockets. JVT, when I look at this list, Curry's the only guy I see on it who I consider a pure shooter. Mm-hmm. Some of the other guys are scorers. Yep. Devin Booker can fill it up. He's the only guy who's a pure shooter. What would you make the line on this? Because it's interesting. In a six-man competition, can you make Stephen Curry an odds-on favorite? What do you think, Yar?
Yeah, I would agree with Yar. Like, I think, like, even money, potentially an odds-on favorite there. Like, it's just the gap between them. Like, I would say, because you mentioned Booker, he's got the ability to get really hot and streaky. I think, was it last year? I think he made it to the second round of the three-point shooting contest. He's got the ability to do it. But if we're just talking about, like, pure shooting mechanics and how good these guys are, like, Curry is by far and away the best one of the bunch.
Okay. Let's get your best bets for tonight before we let you go. What do you have? You talked about a couple bets on tonight's NBA card. Anything else you want to play?
Yeah. You know, earlier today, guys, I did lay a little bit with the Charlotte Hornets. I think, too, I thought that number was a little short. And we talk about respect and, you know, how the market perceives certain teams. You know, we're talking about a Minnesota team that DraftKings actually opened as a one-point favorite here initially, despite the fact that they have failed to cover their last eight games. This is a Hornets team that's really well coached. If you look at just statistically the way that they play basketball, they take the fourth most attempts at the rim. The Minnesota Timberwolves, one of the worst rim defenses in the NBA. If you look at it from a three-point standpoint, right, they take the fifth most in terms of the Charlotte Hornets from beyond the arc. Really good shooting team. So I think it's a pretty good mismatch. So I laid two earlier today.
Okay, and your other bets for anyone who missed what you said tonight, your other plays on tonight's card?
The only two I actually have were that one and then the Utah Jazz, okay. Philadelphia 76ers matchup, the 3.5.
All right, good deal. You're going to take some time off of the All-Star break. What are you going to do?
So I actually got a really cool piece coming out. You mentioned it. I do think that there was one operator out there that is going to release second half win total. Right. So kind of looking around, evaluating second half schedules, what it's going to look like, bet on teams, bet against teams, and confidence ratings in terms of, you know, potential to cash those win totals. So that's going to be a pretty good piece I've been working on the last 2 days, and hopefully we'll be in the next edition of Point Spread Weekly.
Good deal. I look forward to talking with you next week about those second half win totals on the NBA. JVT, have a good night, man.
Thanks, guys.
VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, on Twitter. And again, he's doing write-ups. You can see his scouting reports for the night's games at vsin.com each day. You think you're going to bet the three-point contest, ER?
I'm actually would be interested in Steph Curry if I could get some sort of a decent number there. Again, I can't exactly put odds on the spot, but anything over even money seems like might have to look at it.
I would grab any plus money you could get on Curry to win the three-point contest. All right, coming up next, we're going to have Aaron Renning's top plays for the NBA card tonight. And March Bankroll Madness continues. Try to find a winner on the College Hoops rotation. Split last night in College Hoops with a winner on Purdue and then a loser on the Michigan-Michigan State Moneyline Parlay. Did not really see Michigan going down in a ball of flames like the Wolverines did last night. Quick break, back in a couple minutes. Wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 in a match bonus. Fastest payouts and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. BetRivers Sportsbook, visit BetRivers.com. This is the OddsTrader.com studio at South Point Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Visit OddsTrader.com. We're going to get to the best bets segment tonight and going to start with a college basketball game. It's a revenge spot in the Big East. Two teams atop the conference, Creighton and Villanova, 5:30 p.m. tip Pacific time. Yesterday, Circus Sports opened this number. Villanova -3. It's up to 4.5 at Circa, 5 at some spots right now. The total is 146.5. These teams played, obviously, not too long ago. It was February 13th, and the Wildcats went to Omaha and got ambushed by the Blue Jays 86-70. Villanova was a 2-point favorite in that game, ER. That's why I thought it was interesting. The Villanova was a 2-point road favorite against Creighton, and Circa opened the Villanova only a 3-point home favorite. Yesterday, obviously, a lot of bettors got a hold of this, and driving the number as high as 5 at some spots, including the South Point, now up to 5.
Yeah, so, but, you know, my reaction when you mentioned that was, again, I don't follow college basketball religiously. I thought Creighton was the home team when you mentioned a 3-point favorite.
Actually, Villanova on the road against Butler on the weekend, 2-for-27 from 3. Colin Gillespie was 0-for-5. So I think Villanova's got a lot of incentive in this game, and I can see why the bettors are on it. I like Villanova in this spot, too. I talked with Tim Murray, my former co-host, who will be hosting the nightcap tonight. I think he's going to be on Villanova in this spot as well. It's revenge for that loss February 13th in Omaha. But not only that, Villanova's trying to make amends for that poor performance at Butler. And we've seen Jay Wright's teams in bounce-back spots before. Come back with strong performances, and I expect that from Villanova tonight. Jen Mill Phil on Twitter is playing Villanova in a teaser. Villanova -0.5. He's got Seton Hall +5.5. He noted Villanova is 39-1 in the past 40 Big East games at the Pavilion. So Villanova's got a strong home track record tonight, and I'm going to play that as a part of a two-team money line parlay because I was going to lay Villanova minus three, but now it's up to five. I'm just going to pair it with San Diego State tonight. I don't see the Aztecs losing to the Rebels in Las Vegas. This is a poorly coached UNLV team that's undisciplined on both ends of the floor. They jack up wild shots, not very disciplined on the defensive end of the floor, and that's the opposite of San Diego State. That's a well-coached team that knows runs smart sets on the offensive end of the floor and is tenacious defensively. I can't see the Aztecs losing one to the Rebels tonight in Vegas. So if you put those two on a money line parlay, I'm using circa numbers here. Villanova minus 200, San Diego State minus 500. $100 pays 80, so I'm on about 200 to win 160 in the March Bankroll Madness. Had a viewer send in a suggestion last night that I should call this March Madness. I don't think so. I'm going to stick with Bankroll Madness.
Right.
Anyway, yesterday had a split, dead even yesterday. One winner, one loser. We're 3 days into the March Bankroll Madness. And you have two or three top plays tonight in the NBA. Right?
I've got a couple. It's a huge card here, Matt. It's generally one of my favorite cards. I'm involved with a lot more sides than totals tonight. I'm going to come in game 545, Golden State minus 1.5 against Portland. Of course, the Warriors off that embarrassing effort on Sunday. Never in the game.
Right.
This is a team I expect to be in playoff contention. It's a bigger game for the Warriors than it is the Trailblazers. Trailblazers caught Charlotte in a great spot the other night. Golden State, clearly to me, the better defensive team of these two. Matt, if I was managing my bankroll, and you see these best bets here, Golden State would be essentially a two-unit, and a one-unit here would be 531, the Pacers, minus five here in Vegas. Talked about this one earlier on in the show. I think you have a focus favorite here. The Pacers on a four-game losing streak. You want to get that taste out of your mouth before you hit the All-Star break here for Indiana, clearly to me. And the Cavaliers throughout the last couple of months have been the worst team in the NBA, although Houston takes over that spot now. But I got the Blazers here minus the points.
All right, so if you play the Warriors tonight, it's a two-unit play, and the Pacers be a one-unit play.
That would be my bankroll management on my best bets here today.
I like it. Let's take a quick break. We come back. We have at least five more games to go through on the NBA card tonight. Get Aaron Renning's thoughts on that. Again, follow him on Twitter at ERSports1. Follow the show at VSIN Live. Back in a couple minutes here on My Guys in the Desert. March, it's madness. Put them together and we get a cease and desist letter from the NCAA. But you get unlimited betting opportunities for the next month. Now is the time to sign up for your free trial of VSIN to put our experts to work for you. We have the most betting coverage of college hoops anywhere, including conference tournaments, live selection Sunday coverage. That's always a huge day. Our upcoming bracket betting guide and everything you need to get ready for betting on the tournament. Right around the corner. Sign up for your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I love Selection Sunday, and we're about 10 or 11 days away from that. We're going to take a quick look at golf here. We got a lot to run through on the NBA rotation yet tonight. Thanks to Bruce Marshall for his takes on college hoops and Jonathan Von Tobel on the NBA. Long Shots is up on the website now at vsin.com if you want to watch the replay. It aired last night. Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, and myself, our best bets on the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. And let's get to Brady Cannon's best bets, too. We have some common selections this week, which is always encouraging. Mm-hmm. I like it when guys who are sharp on golf are on the same page, and you think sometimes great minds think alike. You can also pick up Point Spread Weekly to get the best bets from our entire crew And I will go through some of those now as soon as I find those. We have the graphic for there we go, for Brady Cannon. Tyrell Hatton's going to be his 18-1 top play. Hatton won this tournament last year. Louis Oosthuizen at 40, Jason Kokrak at 50-1, and Kokrak is a similar selection with me in this tournament as well. We've got Cameron Davis at 75, Lanto Griffin at 90, and Emiliano Grillo at 125-1. Those are Brady Cannon's best bets. He's got one outright futures win this season in the Sony Open. And again, this starts tomorrow morning if you want to jump in on it. I've got Sungjae Im at 23-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick at 25, Will Zalatoris, a young player who went to Wake Forest. That's where Arnold Palmer played too, by the way. Jason Kokrak and Mark Leishman. So Brady and I match up on Kokrak. Leishman's got a great track record on this course, a win and a runner-up, and he's at 50-1. I'm going to look for some bombs this week. I'm not going to play any of the favorites.
Matt,
not going to come on here, Aaron, and tell you, bet Rory, bet John Rahm that this week. None of that this week.
I have one question for you. Did Jason Kokrak kind of come, is he burst on the scene here of late? Because I was betting this golf last summer, and I don't remember betting him or his name being thrown around that often.
You know, his game's improved over the past year to where you can bet this guy to win a tournament. In Riviera, he was actually top of the leaderboard going into Saturday before he faded, but he's one of the biggest hitters off the tee on tour, and he's becoming a well-rounded player to where you're always looking for long shots with guys who are capable, have the potential of winning a tournament. And Kokrak is there now. If I didn't think he could win, I wouldn't play him at, you know, around 50-1. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, I probably wouldn't have played him. Will Zalatoris is that young player now that a lot of golf bettors are trying to get on before his price drops to that 25-1 range. You could get Zalatoris at about 45-1. I've got two futures wins, back-to-back weeks at Pebble Beach and Riviera. And let's get to Wes Reynolds' best bets as well. And Wes matches up. We were talking about these plays a couple nights ago. He matches up on Tyrell Hatton with Brady Cannon at 18-1. Wes likes Francesco Molinari quite a bit at 30. Tommy Fleetwood at 45, and he's also got Kokrak. So there's the common selection.
All three
of us on the Long Shots crew on Jason Kokrak.
I tell you what,
50-1 this week.
If he wins, you guys are going to be doing shots on next week's show in celebration.
Doing shots on the Long Shot Show?
Yeah, all right.
That sounds like
not making golf shots, doing shots. I would say champagne, but I know you guys are not. I know, Matt, you're not a champagne drinker.
No, I don't think you are either.
Right.
Paul Howard asked me on the Follow the Money show a couple nights ago, what do you think of the J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals? I said, I don't think it moves a needle for Super Bowl odds at all for the Cardinals. But if you look at the West Division, the NFC West, it's going to be very competitive, obviously, with the Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, and the Cardinals. And I saw the story today on Pro Football Talk about Cliff Kingsbury and how it could be a long year for him if he doesn't get the sky-high expectations for the Arizona Cardinals under control. What was your take on the Watts signing? He got a $31 million two-year contract, mm-hmm. $23 million guaranteed. A lot of people think he overpaid, or the Cardinals overpaid for Watt, and I think they did, but it was competitive and a competitive free agent market. And they made a bold move because they felt like they're in a type of division where they had to make a bold move. I understand that. What do you think of the Watts signing, and what do you think realistic expectations are as far as a win total for the Cardinals in 2021?
Well, Matt, I mean, you know, to me here is a couple things. I mean, J.J. Watt, obviously a former defensive player of the year, a guy that could absolutely dominate the game. And free agency, do you think he's going to say, wow, that was a steal for that team to sign that guy at that cheap contract?
Right.
You know, it's just not going to happen. Some team's going to come in, probably overpay him or whatever exactly it was. One of the keys I like here with Arizona, to me, it's I believe it's almost like a two-for-one because Chandler Jones missed the season last year. So you get two guys that can come in, put pressure on the quarterback here for Arizona. And to me, that's always the, you know, the big deal. If you don't have the quarterback, you want to have that defense that can put pressure on the quarterback, right. Matthew Stafford, whoever San Francisco has, perhaps a Russell Wilson. So I think it certainly helps this team. I'm not a big Cliff Kingsbury fan. We'll see if he can kind of improve what he needs to do to give this team a realistic shot here.
Cardinals were 8-8 last season, 2-4 within that division. The Seahawks were 12-4, Rams 10-6. 49ers obviously had the Super Bowl hangover. A lot of injuries dropped to 6-10. What's mm-hmm. realistic for the Cardinals? Do you think 9-7 would be a ceiling for this team in that type of division? It's still one of the best divisions in the NFL.
I think the ceiling should be 10 or 11 wins. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it has to. I mean, that's what you have to go into this. They're trying to build this and win this game now. Kyler Murray will be in his third year here. I mean, if this team doesn't get to 9 wins, I mean, boy, I would think the hot seat's clearly going to be on Kingsbury.
All right, which team's your favorite in the NFC West? The Rams had the number one scoring defense mm-hmm. in the NFL. The Rams are going to be right there. I think they would be my favorites in the NFC West.
It's tough.
After picking up Stafford.
Right. Well, you know, the trouble with the Rams are so top heavy as well. Any kind of injury would really set that team back. A Donald, etc. San Francisco, we expect to be back and competitive. We don't know exactly the situation for Seattle, so the door is certainly open to a degree here for the Cardinals.
It's going to be a fascinating race in the NFC West again, and the Cardinals pick up J.J. Watt this week. Quick break. We come back. We're going to finish our scouting breakdowns on the NBA rotation for tonight with Aaron Renning up next. From the OddsTrader.com studio at South Point Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Visit OddsTrader.com. We wrap up the NBA betting rotation for tonight with Aaron Renning here at South Point Sportsbook. And ER, let's actually start with one of your best bets for tonight. You said this was a bigger play than normal for you. Golden State Warriors, 1 or 1.5. I see a 1 out there at one spot, but mostly you got to lay 1.5 with the Warriors at Portland, total 232.5.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly during the course of an NBA week or whatever, I certainly have some 2 units play. This would be a kind of a 2-unit weight, if you will, on the Warriors. I think this is a favorable spot for this team. This is a team that I like. They've played tremendous defense. The offense can certainly be hit and miss for this team. They've gotten the two big guys back now for this team, which certainly should help solidify. They've shot the three-pointer poorly here late, obviously against the Lakers, against Indiana last week. Now you get to go against a Portland team that's very weak defensively. So mm-hmm. I think they can shoot well here. Portland's just a team that I have not been all that fond of. This is a team that's still one of the worst defensive teams. You look at the players, Carmelo Anthony, Lillard, Cantor in the middle. You can certainly understand why they're not a good defensive team. So I'm going to go with the spot here. I think the Warriors show up and win this one. I guess you could, I hope, convincingly.
Yeah, I watched that game Sunday night. They were down 73-44 at the half to the Lakers.
It was like 27-5 or whatever.
No
right
show
off the
performance. No
mm-hmm.
show. All right, Lakers and Kings in Sacramento, and LeBron is taking the night off, and he has played every game up to this point. Lakers 24-12. He's played all 36 games. He's not going to make the trip to Sacramento tonight. Kings, 3.5-point favorites, total of 223.5. And it's not just LeBron, no Anthony Davis, no Kyle Kuzma tonight. You said maybe no Alex Caruso as well?
I think he's doubtful for this team. Kuzma, did you mention Kuzma? Matt, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to go ahead and handicap and work the next 2 nights before the All-Star break. I'm not going to take any – no nights off for me. And I'm going to come in with a bet in this game. I bet this game under the total again for the Lakers. It's very hard to envision how this team's going to be incredibly efficient offensively. A team that can't make a three-point shot with LeBron giving them wide open three-point shots, how he sets them up from an offensive standpoint. Meanwhile, Sacramento, not quite sure how this team shows up off that heartbreaking loss the other night, Sunday night, against the Charlotte Hornets. But certainly the door is open for them to come in and have a good performance. Halliburton is going to be out. Buddy Hield is questionable for this one. That would certainly, if he's out, help my under bet in this one, man.
Buddy Hield, the winner of last year's three-point shooting contest. By the way, we talk a lot about bad beats. You had a lucky win, I think, in that Kings game a couple of nights ago, right?
It was the best win I've had this NBA season, one that I can remember, because it was a big bet, and then you get stuck with kind of a bad number because of the injury situation that happened. But I bet a bunch of Sacramento plus 1.5. I'm sorry, not Sacramento, Charlotte plus 1.5. Hayward, out of the blue, gets scratched in that game. It goes to 3.5. There was money that just kept coming in on the Kings. JVT mentioned that earlier in the hour. So I'm going to bet more plus 3.5 in that game. Looked all for dead, down 8 points without the ball, 1 minute left. I quit watching and was working on the next day's card, and I kept kind of watching it refreshed. I go, watch, it's going to hit 2, and I'm going to, you know, and you always feel bad you didn't get the best of the number. Still would have won my 3.5 bet, but I had a bigger bet plus 1.5. Turns out, the Kings blow that game. Yeah, it's one of the best wins I've had all year in recent memory.
Kings had an 8-point lead and the ball with about a minute to go.
Loved it.
Found a way to lose the game.
Luke Walton. I preached Luke Walton. And, you know, you can say the players lost it as well, Matt, but you just see the fundamental issues with that team. Fouling on a three-pointer, missed free throws. A lot of issues for that
game. You can't blow a lead like that in the last minute unless guys are missing free throws. Mm-hmm. I think they missed 5 free throws.
And in the NBA, you generally don't get that. And you certainly would expect that from good, you know, 90% free throw shooter and Buddy Hield, Fox as well. NBA, you just rarely get that.
All right, LeBron is out tonight for the Lakers. He's going to sit this one out. What about Luka Doncic tonight for the Dallas Mavericks? OKC Thunder in Dallas. The line is 4.5, and we got no Luka tonight, right?
Yeah, so. No Luka. I'm not going to be involved here. It seems, Matt, that a lot of these guys are getting an extra day off, including Luka Doncic, as you mentioned, joins LeBron James. We'll see if some of these guys sit tomorrow night in these back-to-back situations as well. So, kind of around the block monitoring these injuries and lines in the NBA.
Let's go back to the East Coast. You got Atlanta and Orlando. Hawks laying 2.5 or 3 points on the road, total of 218.5, 219. Did you have a play?
Yeah, I got a bet here on the Hawks. A little disappointed. It sounds like Clint Capella's not going to play here. That's a key matchup for this team. But obviously the Hawks fire their coach, respond well last night. And sometimes when you see that first win – after a fire coach, you kind of want to ride it out here. Fournier is going to miss for the Orlando Magic, so I'm going to try to make a little bit of a score and ride the Atlanta Hawks at least for another night.
That's one of my favorite angles, too, especially when the coach is disliked by the players. First game after the coach is out, play that team. It worked in the NFL this year. Mm-hmm. It worked with the Atlanta Hawks. The first game after Lloyd Pierce was fired. You have a play here, Pacers and Cavs. We're seeing the Pacers go up. The screen is lighting up. The odds screen is lighting up right now. Pacers 6.5-point favorites at Cleveland. It's now moving to 7 at Circa Sports, DraftKings, and a couple other spots. So it looks like Pacers action here.
Yeah, Sabonis was questionable, Matt. He is now in the starting line. Well, yeah. Like I said, I heard him on the radio yesterday. He's talked how tough he is. He's not going to let down his teammates, and he comes through, hopefully, tonight. Get a spread cover. I got to bet on the Pacers. I think this is a good spot. This is what we like to call a focus favorite, a four-game losing streak. And they got a game against Denver tomorrow night, so you got to get in, get this win. Cavaliers beat the Houston Rockets twice in the last week. You can kind of throw those victories out. Cleveland has played a little bit better. You know, Allen in the middle is finally kind of getting into the flow with his new team here. But I think the Pacers come out, play a real good game.
Pistons have dropped 3 in a row. They're the worst team in the East right now at 9-25. And the Pistons are in Tampa Bay to play the Raptors.
Yeah.
7.5 is the number, 211 the total.
Yeah, a very tough game to handicap. You know, the Raptors are out with a ton of guys in this game. Siakam, Van Fleet, and Ananobi. But then Grant's out for the Pistons. So very tough game to predict.
Okay, let's go to Chicago and New Orleans. Pelicans 10-1 over the total, past 11 games. And Pelicans here, 5.5 or 6-point favorites over the Bulls. Total is 230, we'll call it 237.
You know, Matt, hopefully I can get something with kind of the bounce theory. I know you like that handicapping angle here as well, but New Orleans beat Utah the other night, so I'm coming back with a bet on Utah tonight, and I'm coming with a bet against the Pelicans. Pelicans have been somewhat disappointing, 15 and 19 on the season. The defense is certainly eroded to one of the worst level you can get from the NBA. I've timed this Bulls team pretty well, and this is their last game here before the break. They've haven't looked all that great here down the stretch. I think they show up, but I think more importantly, they get inside the six number.
Okay, let's go to Charlotte and Minnesota. And Charlotte, a 3-point road favorite, total 234.5.
This is one that has not worked out with the head coach. Of course, you could read in between the lines, the T-Wolves make the change at the head coach, get rid of Saunders, but he was well-liked by the players. The players liked him
because he was a really weak coach.
He was easygoing. Yeah. He let these guys kind of do whatever they pleased, yeah. I guess, to a certain extent. I saw good news from the new head coach here for the T-Wolves. He said new offensive system, new defensive system in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Going to need a week here to put that in order. So perhaps the T-Wolves are going to be a bet-on team in the second half. But we're going to wait until the second half. I'm not going to have a bet on them here. I did bet this game over the total. We talked about the Pelicans over the total. The Hornets have been right there with them. They have gone over the total in each and not in each and every game, but a lot of these games here, not playing much in the way of defense. They inserted LaMelo Ball into that starting lineup. Hayward back into the fold here for the night with the Hornets. And, you know, the T-Wolves have just basically opened things up. This is an offensive coach that they brought in. Let's play with some pace. Let's focus here on the offense. Unfortunately, you know, they lose Beasley. They don't have a lot of offensive-minded guys in this lineup. But to me, I hope this is one of those no-defensive pre-All-Star game contests where we get to like 130-130. I'd be happy with that result.
Chris Finch is the new coach of the T-Wolves. He was an assistant for Nick Nurse with the Raptors, and he is an offensive-oriented coach. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the highest-profile games of the night. We've talked about these a couple of times. Quick recaps. Utah and Philadelphia, you got the top team in the West. And the Sixers are the top team in the standings in the East. Not sure they're the best team. And I don't think you think all that highly of the Sixers as well. Jazz, 3 or 3.5-point favorites. We're seeing this number move to 3.5 at most books. Total 231.5.
You know, certainly capable. This is a great game to watch here tonight. Embiid against Gobert. Embiid has put up tremendous numbers. Gobert, one of the best defensive centers in the NBA. But for me, for my money, the NBA that I've watched so far this year, the Jazz have been the most complete team. Very tough team to deal with and handle. And off that disappointing loss last game here, before the All-Star break, I expect them to come out with a very good performance and somewhat overwhelm what the Sixers are able to do. And, you know, how Utah scores and they're so efficient, they play so well together, that just hasn't been the case with the 76ers a lot of time. And I think it's a very playable price here for the Jazz to win this game.
Right, you got a couple of bad teams at the bottom of the West right now. The Rockets have dropped 12 in a row. The T-Wolves have dropped 8 in a row. The Brooklyn Nets are on the road against the Rockets tonight in Houston. Nets 10-point favorites. We're seeing 10.5 now at circa, total 226.
8 players available here for the Houston Rockets. Eric Gordon was a scratch. You know, if the Rockets are ever going to show up here, you would think against James Harden, but I'm just not sure how capable this team is right now.
All right, that's Aaron Redding. Thanks to Bruce Marshall and JBT. Up next, Danny Burke on Rush Hour. He's got a loaded show. Stay tuned here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.